Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt. I am the host. With me this week are my fantastic co-hosts, Liz Harper and Joe Perez. And as a little shout out for the pre-show, just as I was opening the email for this, I noticed that Green Ronin had just emailed me to get me to buy more game stuff from them. it's been a thing. That was the pre-show. You should go listen to it. But now we're going to talk about other stuff. It's actually a relatively busy, it's simultaneously a not as busy and yet more busy, because there's lots of stuff that going on that's kind of not necessarily main game announcements, but is still interesting and is stuff we should talk about. Although there are also straight up, this was one I wanted to point out because it was kind of confusing the way that they've set it up. We're going to get Diablo 4 a chat. But we don't know when yet. They haven't actually announced when this week it will be, right?
It's one of these things that I hate, which is
they announced that they're going to announce it. Yeah.
So last week the Diablo 4 dev team announced that this week they are going to announce when the next campfire chat will be, which will talk about the mid-season update and the gauntlet, which was supposed to be out a week or two ago, but didn't come out because they were going to polish it up. So sometime this week, we should know when the next campfire chat is. That doesn't necessarily mean it will be this week, but soon? Question mark?
Yeah, I no idea, but you know, we'll find out. We do know one thing here, and I did know it, but completely forgot that it was important. Diablo 4 is coming to Xbox Game Pass. It's going to be there on March 28th. Quite frankly, Diablo 4 on the Xbox is my preferred way to play it. Like I enjoy it on console. I mean, I also play it on PC, and quite frankly, I usually use a console controller on the PC to play it because it just feels better to me with the console controller as opposed to the keyboard. So I think if you haven't gotten Diablo 4 yet, and I mean, it sold a ridiculous amount of copies, so if you were even remotely interested, you probably did get it. But if you didn't, now you can try it for the price of your Xbox Game Pass, if you have one. So that's cool. I think that's a good decision. Go ahead, Liz.
It's also kind of an interesting time frame because that's going to be the halfway point in season 3, more or less. The season's going to wrap up in the middle of April. So it gives you a few weeks to check out season 3 if you so desire. It's season 3 hasn't gotten off to a great start. Lots of complaints early on, but they are probably pretty soon going to do their mid-season update, which will be adding some new things. They've done a lot of balance changes since they've initially rolled out the season. And I think overall, it's probably going to be a really good time to jump in, because if you jumped in at the beginning, you played a while, you were maybe disappointed because it was hard to level your robot friend, or you just were grinding and not getting anywhere, but the middle of the season may actually be the best time to jump into a new Diablo season, which isn't great news for the Diablo team, but could be good news for you if you have Xbox Game Pass and you haven't tried Diablo 4 yet.
Yeah, and I will also say this. Some of us love this season, and by some of us, I mean me. This is the most fun I've had in a season yet.
I've been playing the season. I don't have big issues with it, but
yeah, I know. Everyone's different. I'm straight up, I am one of the people who's enjoying it. So I would tell you, yeah, by all means. It's actually weird that we live in an era where there's the two biggest RPG releases of the last year were a sequel to Diablo and a sequel to Baldur's Gate, which, as I've said to people, did we time travel back to 1994? Is that what happened?
I wish my world would be so much happier.
Yeah, you know, it feels an awful lot like, well, also I think kind of forgetting that there was some really horrible stuff back then too, Joe, but
oh no, there absolutely was, but the cost of living was definitely way better in 94 than it is currently.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's true. But it wasn't great. Anyway, my point's just that it's an interesting time to see Diablo 4. I think it's the first Diablo game that actually feels like it is for consoles with PC as an afterthought. Mm. You know, in a way. And I'm not sure how to take that. In some ways, I think it's really good for the game. But in some ways, this is the first Diablo game I've ever not liked playing with a mouse. Like, when I used to play Diablo 3 on my PC, I would play it, you know, on my console with my controller, but I wouldn't bring the controller in here and play it with my controller on PC. I play it with the normal keyboard and stuff. And for some reason, it's just not my thing this time. So I think in a way, this is probably one of the better ways to feature Diablo 4. I will also point out that if you are just a diehard PC gamer, if it's on Xbox Game Pass, if there's a PC version, it will be on just Game Pass, and you'll be able to play it on your computer. That's been the way for like every other Game Pass that they've done. Like that's how I played Starfield. I played Starfield on my PC and my Xbox using Game Pass. So it should be around for both. Which means if you just play on PCs, but you want to check it out, you'll be able to. So I think that's pretty cool.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But we don't know who the campfire chat is, unfortunately, which is just kind of nuts. I will also say that I'm sad for people that didn't get to do the Lunar Awakening event, because it's over. It ended today.
I really enjoyed the Lunar Awakening event.
I didn't have time, and I'm sad I missed it.
I also feel like one of the problems with Diablo 4 right now is that its systems are very poorly explained. Mm-hmm. So you almost have to go and jump out and like Google something just to figure out how it works. And Lunar Awakening at its heart was very simple. It was like, okay, certain shrines out in the world, in the open world and in dungeons have been buffed to have these extra powerful effects and also give you an experience buff. So like the event is just go out and find these shrines and activate them and kill things around them. And it's like, okay, well, where are the shrines? Okay, well, they're on the map marked with tiny, tiny purple icons in whatever the area's whispers are. And so you go to the tiny purple icon, which are usually not convenient to, I'm blanking, a teleport thing.
Yeah, they're not that close to one of the teleports.
None of them have been close to a place you can just teleport into. And so you go to the icon on your map, and I would say most of the time there's a lunar shrine there, but some of the time there's just not. So you just wander around, and you look, and maybe there's one nearby, maybe there's not. And then you wonder, are you insane? Do you just not understand how the event works? Where do you even go to do this event? And it's not clear. You can go and do nightmare dungeons or nightmare vaults.
Yeah, you can put the proper affix on and
if you have a key with Ancestor's Favor. I will say you got a lot of keys with Ancestor's Favor. They seemed very common during the event. But it's like you could have helped people out here, because it was just sort of unclear, how do I even do this event?
See, I didn't have the problem you're reporting. In fact, I would hit shrines with those purple things on them almost constantly. Like, I was trying to mind my own business. the only reason I even did the Ancestor event was that I started stumbling on them. And I think I know what the problem might be. You're leveling a character with the campaign turned off, right?
Yes.
I'm not.
Oh.
I'm playing the campaign. So I don't have the robot. I'm not doing any of that. And I just got shrines galore, and almost all of the shrines had a purple thing on him and gave the extra effect. And I also noticed even if he didn't, I was still getting Ancestor's Favor, which is weird. Yeah. But I noticed it because I did at one point I didn't have enough to get the body tattoo, which, by the way, if you're watching our stream, you can look at my character and you can see the tattoo. It's amazing.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's unfortunately too late to get one yourself, but I think
you like mine.
That's true. Admire the transmog. I mean, I think it's nice that Diablo 4 is doing these seasonal events. I think they've been fun. They kind of shake up a game that can get very static. But there is
a difficulty of explaining it. You're absolutely right. The only reason I even found out how to do anything is because there's that one person in Kel Barad you can ask. Mm-hmm. But even then, they don't tell you much. They don't tell you, okay, you know, here's exactly how to do it. There's like, go look for right. So yeah, it is definitely the problem of it. But regardless, you now have a chance to do it free.
One thing that I'm kind of annoyed with about these events is like you have the event and you have some free rewards and you can go and participate in that. But whenever they've rolled out an event so far, they've also rolled it out with a set of new and very expensive skins for each class. And it's like, wow, there's this cool thing to, oh, that's not actually a reward I can earn. I have to pay like $20 to get it. So, I mean, that's just in the theme of Diablo 4 pushing out a lot of microtransactions. And yeah. Someday
we will talk about all the live service stuff in this game and why. I think we've talked about it before and that we described it as a really good 1 to 50 game bolted onto a live service game that just won't stop asking me for money.
I mean, it's not as aggressive about it as Diablo Immortal, but it would be hard to be as aggressive about it Immortal. But it's constantly rolling out new armor sets, and they do cost, $15, $20. They are not cheap. This week they actually released some horse armor, which if you've been in the gaming industry forever, like I have, you'll remember that kind of the first microtransaction was a set of horse armor, which I think cost $2 from Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Yeah, okay, you meant
Bethesda. Yeah, it was horse armor. It cost like $2, and everyone was like, oh, this doesn't even do anything for you in-game. This is so greedy. This is so much corporate greed. Oh my god, and it was just a whole thing. Yeah, now Diablo has its horse armor that there's one they just rolled out that costs like $65. And it's like, that's about how much the game cost for a horse.
Oh, forget that. Have you've seen the colored portal pack?
No.
Okay. All right.
The colored
portals are now a thing you can get. And they cost, I think it's like $45 for the colored portals.
It's just there are so many microtransactions, and Diablo 4 has made a real point about, okay, these don't buy you player power, these are cosmetics, but there are so many of them rolled out all the time, and they are ridiculously expensive, and you're in-game, and you're like, okay, I've got some cool transmog looks that have been the same since the game launched. And, the store has gotten 10 new looks just since I last checked it this morning. And it's a little frustrating. It's a little disheartening that you can't have all of this cool stuff because I'm not paying $20 for a set of armor that's going to go on my tiny character who's, like 2 inches tall on my TV. So,
the two things they've got now. There's the Vitreous Scourge, which comes with armor and a mount.
It's an amazing looking mount. It's covered in glowing crystals. I don't know.
That thing is like 87.59 CAD. So I think it's close to $70 US.
And so. I will grant that it is a horse bundled with 7,000 platinum, which is something like $50 US on its own, 50 or 60. So technically the horse is not that much, but you can only buy it when bundled with all that platinum. So
yeah,
it's
you can't
like
get it separately. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't get it separately. They also have like the Beckoning Thunder, which is like $53.99 CAD. So that's like $40-$45 US. And it's another pretty cool mount that they came out with a while back. It's just, there's a lot of stuff that's just, you know, yeah, it's just cosmetic and that's fine. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like we could be talking about this forever and I haven't heard Joe speak yet. So I'm worried that he's, you know, drowning out there somewhere.
I have nothing to contribute. I'm just letting you guys go.
I know, but I want to try and move on to some other stuff. So let's talk briefly about the other thing going on Diablo-wise. There's actually more than this one's interesting. The Diablo 2 Resurrected's ladder season is still coming out this week. As we're recording this, it's Tuesday the 20th, and this will be starting on Thursday the 22nd. So you may be listening to it just after it started. They haven't, as Liz pointed out last week, they haven't added anything really new this season. Season 6 is not going to add like a new mechanic or anything. But at this point, I don't really feel like it needs to. It's basically just they've got everything to the point where they wanted it to be. And now they can just keep doing new ladder seasons because that's what people play Diablo 2 Resurrected like. They want to just keep doing ladder seasons. So I'm interested in seeing how this rollout goes, if it's the model for the future. Because the game that isn't, it's currently already in the middle of the season. It's not going to get a new season for a little while. Diablo 3, their next season will be the next in their series of remixed seasons, where they're going to take themes from previous seasons and mix and match them every time they do a new season. I'm interested to see how the differing approaches to seasons shake out between the Diablos. And also, unrelated to that, but I don't know if you guys noticed they've put the Diablo complete Diablo pack up on their launcher for Diablo. Whenever you try to log in, there's like, you know, get the Diablo, the complete Diablo thing, which is Diablo 2, Resurrected, Diablo 3, and Diablo 4. And I can't help but notice that Diablo, the original Diablo, isn't on there. And I know that they never did a remaster. They never brought it up to modern computing. They let GOG Games slap a name on it and put it out. But I really do think it's weird you're getting the complete Diablo experience except for the actual game Diablo that started everything. That's just weird to me. Because so much of what I think of as Diablo, it comes from Diablo. You know, that guitar sound, the, you know, stay a while and listen, just the whole, and that ending. Diablo has the most screwed up ending of any of the Diablo games. And they all have pretty screwed up endings. But the original Diablo is just an absolute mind pirate ghost. And I'd love them to just redo the cinematic. Now, you don't even have to touch the game. You don't have to do any gameplay stuff. You don't have to make it look better. Leave it looking all weird and clunky because it's a game from like 1996 or whatever. Go ahead, leave it alone. But do remaster the cinematics because they deserve to be presented with the glow up that Diablo 2 got for its cinematics. The Diablo 2 Resurrected cinematics are astonishing. I saw a thing the other day, people talking about various games you could play now that you're done with Baldur's Gate 3, and they made the point that you should go back to Diablo 4 and give that a shot. And one of the things they said was that everything else being said, this is the one game that can actually step up to Baldur's Gate 3 in terms of its cinematics. Like, the cinematics in Diablo 4 are astonishing. They are... Do you remember the first time you saw Lilith walking around?
Oh, they're phenomenal. They're absolutely incredible. Phenomenal.
Top notch.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd love to see the original Diablo get a cinematic glow up. Blizzard's animators and their in-game cinematic and their, you know, straight up rendering cinematic teams are just amazing. And I'd love to get to look at that scene at the end of Diablo, which I'm trying not to spoil for people, for a game that, you know, most of you probably were born after the game came out. But regardless.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, it's true. We're all old. Even Joe is like, he's the baby on this, you know, squad. But regardless, yeah, I would love to see that. Well, that was a massive diversion. Wow. Ooh, sorry, guys. I'm passionate about Diablo stuff. Go ahead, Liz.
I think we all are.
But we should at least talk about some stuff, like, for instance, you mentioned this for Season of Discovery, and I think it's really interesting. They've got the Season of Discovery. It's got like a special bag you get. Like what is this?
It's a cozy sleeping bag. It's literally, it's a sleeping bag. You go and get it and you can, you know, curl up in it and take a nap out in the real world and you get an experience buff. It's a lot like the rested buff. So you can go and if you nap in your sleeping bag for 3 minutes, you get a 3% experience buff that stacks with other experience buffs. It stacks with rested. It stacks with there's currently a buff for characters under level 25 to help them catch up. That's a 50% experience buff. It stacks with that. And I mean, 3% isn't like gigantic. It's not a huge, huge, huge amount. But, you know, these buffs, they add up. And, yep. I mean, to get it, you do kind of a meandering quest chain throughout the world where it's a season of discovery thing. It's about wandering the world, discovering new things. And also, one of the things you do while getting this quest, you get something called student fodder food items. You get a certain amount of them as you're questing, and that gets you 4 bars of rested experience when you eat them. So it's kind of these little interesting experience buffs to sort of help you level up and give you interesting new things to find.
Alrighty. Next thing I'm going to mention really fast, because I want to see if either you or Joe have anything you specifically want to talk about it. But Nintendo Direct has their big... It's having Nintendo Direct tomorrow as we're recording.
February 21st, yeah.
Yeah, as we're recording it, it's the 20th, so 21st. I have a Switch in my house, but it's not mine, and I don't touch it. That is my wife's Switch. And while she probably would let me, I'm terrified I will break it. Because I drop my controller a lot, and the Switch is just a controller with a game console in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
it is.
Yeah, I don't want to be near it. I don't want to touch it. I'm afraid I'll drop it. But I do know of some games that people play on the Switch, so I'm interested to see if either of you are talking about anything. What you think it's going to be on there? What you're looking for? If you've seen any leaks, anything like that? Do you have anything to talk about with the Nintendo Direct before we move on?
The big one that everybody Sorry, go ahead, Liz.
I think what everyone wants to see is the Switch 2. And which I don't think
we're not going to
sound
that.
Like it's going to happen.
No.
No.
No, that'll be something that they're going to, in my opinion, I was basically going to say the same thing. I think we're going to get that maybe later in the year, because I still think it's way too early in the year to announce it and probably have it. If I had to hazard a guess, they'll announce it at the end of summer and ready for holiday 2024. Mm. That would be my guess. As far as like what people are expecting to see, the things that I think would be wild, because it's a partner direct tomorrow. We haven't heard anything in a while about Hades 2, so I wouldn't be surprised if we hear something about that. And then throwing it way out in left field, Silk Song, which is the sequel to Hollow Knight that's been in production for years at this point. The rumor is that we might get something announced for it, because it's supposed to be something that's going to be coming out with the Switch in mind from the very start. And Hollow Knight is a wonderful Metroidvania game that plays very well on the Switch itself. The other one is one of my favorite roguelike rhythm games of all time, and it might be the only roguelike rhythm game that I've ever played, was Crypt of the NecroDancer, which is absolutely phenomenal, and I highly recommend everybody give it a try. But they have a new game on the horizon that they announced, and we haven't really heard much about, which is Rift of the NecroDancer, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see that announced tomorrow as well. Especially with the wild success that was the Hyrule version of it, which was a phenomenal game. So, though, I think that's going to be more what we hear tomorrow. I don't know that we're going to hear anything. Everybody wants to see the next Mario Kart, but I don't know that we're going to see the next Mario Kart yet. Some people want to see the next 3D Mario game. I don't know that we're going to see that anytime soon either. So I don't know. And now I'm going to shut up and let Liz talk more.
No, that's all I got. That's all I got. I'd be interested in a Switch too, but I think you're right. It's too early.
Now, if they gave me a Rare Replay re-release on the Switch, I'd be really, really happy. In particular, and this is a game that is awful, but I love it. It's Conker's Bad Fur Day. I love that game for how just as a kid, it was just that rude toilet humor, but it was actually a really good like 3D adventure collect 'em up game. That needs a new version release. Cause I think the last time we had it released, it was on a Rare collection that was specifically only available on, I want to say it was the 360, might've been the one, but it has not been available recently. So yeah. And I don't know what else we'll get because it's people, other people have been talking about like wanting to see in the next Pokemon news and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think they might be licking their wounds after the debacle that was, Violet and why can't I remember the other one? That's how bad it was. So
one thing that is interesting about Nintendo Direct is that they're very short. Mm-hmm. You know, they do these and they're like a half hour. And, you know, we see lots of gaming events that are like this 2 hour monstrosity. How long did the Game Awards last?
Hours.
And that was
no human being actually like watched the whole thing. So no one knows. It could still be happening for all we know.
I mean, it was like 3 or 4 hours of the Game Awards, and it was nonstop new game trailers. By the time you got to the end, you had no idea what happened at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that, and I think it's very smart, that Nintendo keeps these very concise. And they do them a couple times a year, and they just keep them short and to the point. And so you get in, you find out what games you're hyped for in like the next, you know, few months, the next 6 months or so, and you get out. And that's it. You don't have to dedicate your life to finding out what the new Nintendo games are or watching, you know, 100 trailers in a single sitting.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and they do. It is really wonderful that they do it. And they also do it in like chunks, right? So if they're going to be like a lot of releases, they will do several small directs. And you're right. I think they're all under a half hour. That is a perfect amount of time to just throw information at the table and screen and get people hyped without overstaying your welcome, because they're not really trying to generate a hype machine. They're just saying, here's what's coming and moving on. And here's what's coming and moving on. And that is what we've all been talking about wanting on this show for everything. And Nintendo just does it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, I'm going to throw out some speculation because you guys haven't been speculating. And
okay, go.
I've seen a lot of speculation on four things, three of which I would be very interested in. Some people are arguing that we're going to get Xenoblade Warriors because the guys who did, you know, several other Warriors adaptations like Hyrule Warriors they're talking about them doing the Xenoblade Warriors. I am not tremendously interested because Xenogears was one of my favorite games and Xenoblade is kind of a descendant of it, but they didn't do it right in my opinion. So I don't like them. But there's also the next one is Echo the Dolphin. There's actual rumors that Echo the Dolphin is getting a Switch port.
Well, it would make sense because Sega's been doing a lot of that stuff recently.
Yeah. It would make sense. And I would be very excited to play Echo the Dolphin. I'm sorry. I
love those games.
It was one of my favorite Sega games. It was one of my favorite original Genesis games.
Where else can you start as a dolphin just chilling in the ocean and the next thing you know, you're fighting aliens? Like, it's fantastic.
It's a messed up game. But the one that I think is the most appealing to me, there's a rumor that GameCube games are going to get ported to the Switch.
Yeah. I'm super curious about that, but I don't know if that's something that they're going to do now or if they're going to wait for when they announce the Switch 2 as an extra selling point.
Maybe. All I know is this. If they do this, and if they have both the rights and the the courageousness to do it, we could get that Godzilla game back.
Yes. Okay. Not only that Godzilla game, but there is one game that everybody forgets exists. It's one of my favorite games of all time, and it's a beat 'em up game called Beautiful Joe. And it was on a bunch of other platforms, but it was on the GameCube, and it was the best version of that game that ever existed.
Yeah, Beautiful Joe, if you've never gotten the chance to see it.
I have a Captain Blue cosplay.
Yeah, it is actually it's a messed up and interesting game. It's right up there with that. There's another game where you're a comic book artist and you get hit by lightning and you end up in your own comic.
Yeah, comics with an X, because it was the 90s and everything had to have an X or a Z.
Yeah, and the guy looks like Egon from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and the gameplay in the movie. Yeah, and the game plays.
Yeah,
the animated game. One. But the game, but it plays like you're watching and going through panels. I still have that game, and I'm not afraid to admit this, and they can come at me. I have that emulated on my handheld because I love that game.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. But so was Beautiful Joe. But I would love to see GameCube games come to Nintendo because there's just a lot of stuff. Like heck, the original Animal Crossing, which you really don't, you know, it's not really available in Nintendo anymore.
No, it's not. Well, a lot of these aren't anymore. And Nintendo isn't really doing, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but they're not really doing a preservation of old video games from that era. And I call them old. That's becoming increasingly important because we're now hitting a finite point. Like cartridges on systems that were still using cartridges at the time, the batteries are starting to die. And once that goes, like a lot of that stuff is gone.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
Original hardware to play that stuff or to actually be able to rip the data from it is starting to become scarcer and scarcer. Like it's becoming increasingly important that, you know, companies like Nintendo take their catalog and actually digitize it in some manner, or we might just lose it forever.
Yep. So absolutely would be a really nice step there. But as they've both pointed out that, you know, we don't know what's coming. It's a partner direct. It's not Nintendo themselves, but they have a lot of partners. So.
There's a rumor that Hi-Fi Rush will be announced for the Switch, which is a fantastic game to play through if you like beat 'em up rhythm games.
But it's not going to come. There's no way Hi-Fi Rush is coming. I'll tell you right now, Hi-Fi Rush is not happening. This is my trick. Let's see what happens.
All right.
Let's see if the universe does it. It works when I say it's not going to. When I say it's not going to snow anymore, it immediately snows.
Ah, yes, the contrarian approach. Take that, universe.
We'll see if this works this time. But yeah, also don't give me that Godzilla game. That one, they're just going to not give me the Godzilla game. They're like, we know he wants that.
If they give us that game and they let us play online, Matt and I are just not going to do podcasting anymore because we're going to switch over to a Godzilla stream because that's what's going to be what it is.
Yeah. But we'll do one of us will be Godzilla and the other one will be like, I don't know, like Hikazuki or Minya? Yeah, it's Minya.
Minya.
It's not actually Godzuki. Godzuki was from the American cartoon. My God, let's get on to something else before I get any deeper into Godzilla lore. It's not what we're here for.
In Gatoran. Anyway, continue.
Hearthstone anniversary event is next week. I think it's next Tuesday, right? Because it's the 27th. Today's the 20th. So yeah, that would make sense. But it's next week. What do we got for the anniversary event? The anniversary is March 11th, but they're starting it next week.
Starting a... Well, it's going to be a new Legendary Quest in-game, and these are all pretty formulaic at this point. You know, you'll go and you'll get a couple of quests, and they'll be like, play two Hearthstone games, and you progress through this little quest rewards track that gives you certain, you know, gives you some cool things. So it's not much, but you do have a limited time to finish that, so you will want to, you know, log on and check that out. And if you do log on right now, you can already get some of the anniversary rewards. There are some rewards available now that you can get just by logging on, including a total of 24 new cards, that including the Hearth Stonebrew, who is, of course, our fantastic tavern keeper, who has been, you know, kind of narrating the game for very long, but now he is a legendary card with a battle cry of replace your hand with an iconic one from Hearthstone's past. So you kind of got a retro thing going on here that replacing your entire hand. Sometimes it's very good. Sometimes it's very bad. You don't know. But on the 27th, we are getting that new rewards track. And then I think the rest of the rewards are going to start showing up on March 11th when we will get What will we get on March 11th? I'm not sure. We will get a celebratory 10-year anniversary card back. And also they're releasing Hearthstone music from the Tavern on Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube. So you can chill to your Hearthstone tunes without having the game open in the background all the time. Not that I ever do that.
Mm. Not you.
No, listen to video game music? Me, never.
To this day, I still listen to the music that was in the trailer for Warlords of Draenor. Not even the music that they actually played on the loading screen, the trailer music, because it's just that dun, 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 dun. I mean, I was actually talking about, I forget what game it was even. It was Godfall. I was talking about Godfall with somebody, and Godfall, a lot of people are really disappointed with it as a game. They were very disappointed. And I've mentioned that I've played it and thought it was okay. But the music's amazing. And it's like, how is it so many times the music is like the best part of a video game? Like, just they always seem to be at least good, if not amazing. Like, I'm riding around, since we're talking about Diablo, riding around in Diablo, and you go to certain areas and there's music that's specific to those areas. And you're like, you know, I'm going to not go attack those guys. I'm just going to let the mournful elegiac music of the Fractured Peaks play a little bit. Okay, yeah, there's that good spot. And then I'm going to go kill them. So, yeah, I'm totally with on that. Game music can be. I still get goosebumps hearing the original Teldrassil music. Mm-hmm. When you go into Darnassus and there's that triumphal like drum roll and, you know, it starts playing and you're like, whoa, okay. So yeah, there's a lot of that stuff.
It's always going to be the Dragonblight music for me. Like just going into that zone for the first time and there's that kind of icicle-like feel of that piano tune going on. Ugh, so good.
All right, though, I'm going to quickly jump to mention another thing about Hearthstone because we now know the expansion release date. It's March 19th. Last week we talked about it. I don't think we need to repeat it too much, but this week we can talk about the fact that it's coming out on the 19th. So
it's interesting that, you know, it's like they did this whole, you know, announcement and, oh, it's going to be Year of the Pegasus and it's our 10th anniversary and we're doing this new expansion. And they laid out all of this stuff and it was like 3 days later they gave us a release date. Of course, it was like we got the expansion announcement right before the podcast and we got the release date right after the podcast because that's just how things work.
Yeah, that's how we roll.
Yeah, that's how we roll here at Blizzard Watch. That's what we're doing.
If we ever change the day that we do the podcast, they will change the day they do the announcements. This is how it will be.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe is actually used to be able to call it. Like he would call, okay, we're going to get the announcement about an hour after the show.
Yep.
Like, you know. So yeah. One of the things Liz put in here is Last Epic, which is a game coming out, I think, tomorrow. And I have not played it because I've not had the beta. I wasn't in it.
It's been an early access for a while. Yeah. It's an ARPG that I'm seeing the entire Diablo community has been talking about it these last few weeks.
Yeah, it is very much along the same lines as games like Path of Exile and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
One thing it does that I don't like is that, well, first off, it's got the classes and masteries system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about this because this is something I don't like. I like the fact that they've got five classes and they're done. There's not too many classes. I think sometimes the problem with an ARPG is when they have too many classes. But the classes are like generic, somewhat warrior/paladin guy called the Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
The Acolyte, who's sort of, I do magical healing and stuff like that. I talk to gods and other things that, you know, beyond the world. There's the Primalist, who is sort of like you're sort of like a barbarian. The Rogue, which it's a rogue. I mean, come on. And the mage, which again, the mage, come on. Each of them has three masteries and the Primalist has the Shaman, the Beastmaster and the Druid. And I'm sitting there going, what? Druid should be its own class, man. It should be a mastery. And it happens over and over again. And some of them are like, just not particularly inspired. Like the Acolyte gets the Lich, the Necromancer and the Warlock. Why wouldn't the Lich also be the Necromancer? Just have the Necromancer be the Lich. And then come up with a third thing that isn't, you know, that they're all, you know, all three of these is somewhat weird and creepy and dark. None of them are like the other side of, you know, touching for, you know, strange powers. There's nobody like the Warlock is there, but there's nobody like a straight up aberrationist or something. It feels like a hole. And then you go, the other thing gets me is the lich is over here with the acolyte, which means mages don't get to be liches. That's like weird to me, man. You know, and especially part the mage gets the sorcerer, the spellblade, and the rune master. And I'm sitting there going, rune master could have gone over in primalist. I don't know. This is the thing that always happens with these mastery systems. It happens in like Path of Exile for me too. I always get hung up on the class that you put on top of the class. I don't like a class, but then it gets another class that you select, because we know you liked classes, so we gave you another class so you could class while you class. It's not my thing. So, but I will say this, it does, looking at the gameplay, watching people play it, I get why it's getting a lot of buzz. It's very Diablo 2-esque. Which is what they almost all are.
And I think this is 11th Hour's first game too. So like, I'm really interested to see what they do with it, because first games from developers are always, it's always an interesting view into maybe a genre, right? So like, if they're going into the RPG realm, what fresh ideas are they coming into it with, or what is the gameplay going to be like that sets it apart? So I'm really, really curious about that, because it's almost like a fresh set of eyes on a problem, right? So I'm looking forward to giving it a shot, and I will absolutely give it a shot. This is a game that will test my 20 minutes, 2 hour rule.
Yeah. I think it would be hard to really get a sense of it in that amount of time, unfortunately.
Well, no, I think even with the ARPGs that I've played in the past, like Chaos Bane and a bunch of the other ones, within the first 2 hours, I knew I was going to play them for a while, because like the loop is present, right? Like ARPGs have a very interesting niche, and I'm not trying to get too off topic, and I'm sorry, I'll stop here in a second, but like, they have to present their loop early to give you the incentive to keep playing them, which, you know, because what makes you want to play Diablo, is it just the story, or is it the satisfying loop of leveling up and getting loot that happens as soon as you start the game, right? And I would argue with Diablo 2, while the story was cool, that was really the first thing that sparked a lot of people's interest, and it was, man, I hit this goblin and or hit this fallen, and like this cool helm came out, right? Like it satisfies that primal acquisition brain that we have. So I'm curious to see how they approach that and how they get your hooks in you. So
yeah, and also I'm going to point something out that I think a lot of people, sometimes the forest gets lost for the trees with this whole idea of this is the Diablo killer.
We all need to stop with that. Bible. Come on.
Well, here's one reason why we have to stop with that. Grim Dawn exists.
Yeah.
Grim Dawn came out in 2016. When it came out on the Xbox One in 2021, obviously it's now on the Xbox Series X. And I'm sure it's on, if it's not on PlayStation, I'm surprised it should be. Mm-hmm. But regardless, Grim Dawn has sold 7 million units.
Yeah.
For a company that Crate Entertainment was not a titan, they're not a big company, you can have a very successful ARPG and not touch Diablo numbers.
Yeah, I mean, Victor Vron is another good example of that. It's a fantastic game that even had a Motorhead tie-in and an entire expansion skinned with Motorhead. And what's his name from Trauma? Why can't I think of his name? Lloyd Kaufman did the narrator bit that released in 2015.
Yeah, and it's good. It's
very good
game. It's not as good as Walsen.
No,
which what I would put up there is one of the best ones. But then for that matter, you mentioned Chaos Bane, which I think is actually the best one.
I think it's very, very good.
Chaos Bane is one of the ones that, but my point is just don't go into this thinking, you know, it's got to be Diablo 4, but better, or it's got to be Diablo 2, but better. It's got to beat those games. It's got to make me want to play it more. You can actually like playing more than one ARPG.
You can like playing more than one MMO. Like how many MMOs, how many MMOs died because they were being hailed as a WoW killer?
They couldn't do it. You know, it is one of those things that is irritating.
Rest in peace, WildStar.
WildStar, I'll straight up say this. WildStar didn't die because it was called a WoW killer. WildStar died because the people behind it had no idea what they had. They just did not understand the loyalty of that fan base.
I would agree.
Yeah. If you kept that game going, the people that played it then would still be playing it because, I can't leave now. I've got this statue I made out of beer signs. I can't possibly leave my statue now.
Wait a minute. You mean I'm doing this dungeon repeatedly to get this one single potted plant? I'll be here for 4 hours until I get it. Don't worry.
Yeah, no, like seriously, they had no idea what they had. They had a license to just, you know,
they had lightning in a bottle. They really did. And NCSoft did them dirty, but that's a whole other, we could do a whole podcast on that.
Yeah. NCSoft and how they kill MMOs.
Aeon.
This one, we're gonna kill this one just because we don't feel like running it anymore. Not because it's not profitable. Yeah. But we've talked about that. Okay. Here's my question, because Liz, you know this better than me. We've got Warcraft Rumble Season 4, which is coming out on the 3rd of March, right? That's what this says?
Yes. We have a new season coming our way. We don't know much about it yet. Like, Blizzard hasn't made any official announcements, but this is one of those games where when a new season rolls out, it gives you know, a date, like, oh, the season's going to last so long. Diablo 4 does the same thing, but they don't necessarily say what is coming next.
Yeah, so unless it's orange text, you know. They do tell you about the orange text. That's there will be orange text. Don't worry, guys.
So we do know a bunch of things are coming up at some point in the future. They have talked about a new Moonglade zone. They talked about a fairy dragon, a mini. And I keep saying, you know, whenever I think about this new mini, I keep thinking Brightwing. Yeah, it's a Brightwing, and I want to say Brightwing, but no, it's just a fairy dragon. That's all they said. They talked about that at BlizzCon. We know that there is a Molten Core raid coming, and I'm really interested to see what that looks like. But it's like none of this has been confirmed for the next season. We are not 100% sure what's going to be the next season, but we know it's coming, and it's coming relatively soon at this point, so they've got to announce it sometime soon. Sometimes Blizzard has cut it pretty fine with these things. Like, I think the last Diablo season, I think Diablo 4 Season 3 was only, we got news about it a week before it started.
Yeah, about the week.
So we're probably hearing more about this pretty soon and getting the kind of final confirmation on what's in it. But if you enjoy Rumble, you only have a little bit of time left to claim those rewards for this season.
Okay, a bunch of stuff that is just us telling you dates for things. WoW Classic's Hardcore Self-Phoned Mode is going to be out on the 29th of February, which is, by the way, how I figured out it was a leap year this year. Like, I was like, 29th? Oh, it's a leap year. Okay.
It's one of those things.
Yeah, I was confused about that. We've already mentioned Whizbang's workshop on March 19th. The Mists of Pandaria Time Walking is right now. From today to the 27th. So, you know, if you're listening, go do that.
Yeah, I can finish leveling my alts.
It's great leveling time. Yeah.
Patch 10.2.6 is still coming in March, but that's all we know. We don't have a date for that yet. Just coming in March. I would like you guys to tell me when it is or what it is or anything, please. Yeah. Please.
We still don't know what. Is it pirates? Is it pirate ghosts? Is it what?
It's poison. It's poison pirates. It has to be poison pirates.
Is it all about rogues? I don't know. No one knows.
No one
except
knows.
Except Blizzard.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they know. It turns out they don't know either. Who does know this? I don't know. Some guy. But I'm also going to mention we've also got the Hatching of the Hippogriffs event, which is like one of those mini holidays they introduced way back. That's going to be on the 23rd of February. And that's where you can potentially get yourself a baby hippogriff. And also just plain old, there's baby hippogriffs you can watch hatch. And that's cool because they're baby hippogriffs and they're really cute. And so I wrote in the email, we are talking about this because baby hippogriffs. I will now turn the floor over to y'all to talk about how cute baby hippogriffs are. Joe, go.
I mean, they're super cute. They're little hippogriffs. They're like, you know, the best parts about birds and you know, other creatures combined together.
Deer.
And deer. Yeah.
Yeah. Liz?
I've never actually done this event, despite the fact that it's been in the game for a decade now.
I honestly forgot that it existed. Like that. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, the problem is that these micro holidays, they're like neat little things, but they're so short. And by the time I remember them, they're gone. So, okay, I should clearly go and check out the baby hippogriffs.
Yep, but you absolutely should. They're very cute.
Yep, and so should all of you listening at home. Baby hippogriffs. It's an order.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, they're cute. And so that was it. That's all I have to say on that one. They're cute, and I like them. Didn't really talk about Overwatch's Cosmic Crisis event when we did their patch. Their season's currently going. I don't really know much about Cosmic Crisis, and I don't think anybody else here has played it.
I have not logged into Overwatch. I haven't had time, but I will make it a point to do so this week and report back.
Yeah, but Anyway, it is a new mode. It's out. You can do it. It's got new skins that are cosmic themed. It's if you remember when Heroes of the Storm used to do it, it's similar to that in that it's got a bunch of like spacey weirdness skins. So, you know, that's cool. Twitch drops. Yeah. Okay. Cap'n Crunch. I'm calling you Cap'n Crunch. I'm sorry. Cap'n Crackers, who's the little parrot pet that you can get from World of Warcraft. That's available up till the 27th. I had it right here, but now I can't find it. Oh, there it is. Yes, till the 27th. So you can still get Captain Crackers until next week. Hearthstone's giving you 3 standard card packs. You can get those up until March 20th. So, you know, during the entire anniversary event, those are going to be available. Overwatch 2 is giving you 5 tier skips. If you're like doing the season and you want to skip some tiers, Amazon Prime is straight up giving you 5 tier skips. Hey, Amazon Prime, maybe give us some Diablo 4 tier skips. Maybe. Yeah. Also, I'm not paying money for that. Just give me some tier skips. But yeah, that's it for them. Couldn't find anything from Twitch. Liz, you had pointed out that we have good resources on this, and I unfortunately did not get a chance to look at them, because I didn't see that you'd sent this email until much later. But you're saying here the Orichalcum speckled mare mount is available, but that's if you purchase subs, right?
Yeah. I think the only Twitch thing that is live right this second is the, as you say, it's this Diablo 4 mount, but it's a support a streamer thing. You have to purchase subs or gift subs in order to get it, which is, I think those are a little less exciting because they do cost you money. But if you're going to support one of your friendly local Diablo streamers, you can do that and get a horse.
Yeah. And nothing else right now for any of the other games, and nothing, no straight up Twitch drops where you just get it for watching Twitch content. At least as far as right now, there hasn't been. So yeah, I am glad that I got the chance to look at the post, because that helped me find that Twitch drop. And so now we're finally kind of through everything. Yeah, we are. Okay, cool. I like to have to go back. I'm sorry. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. We've got 7 minutes to go through a bunch of questions. I don't know if we'll get through them all, but we're going to give it a shot to get at least through a couple.
Speed run.
Yeah, we're going to get a dog in here to do this for us, and we're going to do a speed run. That dog was so cute. Anyway, if you've got a question for the podcast, you can get it to us in a number of ways. You can go to our Discord. We've got 2 channels for Discord. There's the Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel for patrons, because we want to give you guys something back after you give us the gift of continuing to have a podcast. That's nice of you to do, and we want to give something back. But we do love everybody, even the people who can't afford Patreon for various reasons, because we understand how that is. Life is crazy. Things are on fire. The British don't refrigerate their eggs. It's madness. So if you've got a question and you want to ask it, we've also got the Q and Podcast Questions channel for everybody. It's open, free for all. You can go in there and ask a question there as well. Or if you, like me, like to get or give emails, you will send an email to podcast@blizzardwatch.com, subject line podcast, Blizzard, you know, subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show and not the other podcasts we do.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I'm going to just go straight up reading one that I know, an old favorite, a fan, friend of the site. Hey, fellas, it's your favorite red painting fast-going corn with a question about the unnamed survival game that didn't survive Blizzard becoming part of Microsoft. Did the people working on it get reassigned or laid off, or do we even know? Do we have any idea what it was about? Was it going to be a survival game like Ark or more like Metal Gear Survive? Why would anyone want to make a game like Metal Gear Survive? does Valheim count as a survival game?
Yes.
Maybe we could get a Diablo game that goes with Valheim's mix of monsters and building stuff. Anyway, just curious what you guys think about the unnamed survival game. What do you wish it had been? Either of you want to go in this one?
I like survival games, and I'm actually kind of mad that this got canceled. But also, what we know about it, and I think we talked about this a little bit in a previous episode, there was, for lack of a term, it stuck in development hell. Not because of the people working on it, but because some really questionable decisions of the game. Like, they wanted to build it in Unreal, and then they were told, no, you're going to build it in this other thing that you're going to build for mobile games, and make it work for computers and make it work for this game, which meant they were building tools from this ground, from the ground up, which stymied all the progress they had made previously and forced them to start over again. And then really slowed production down, because when you have to build the tools from scratch, turns out takes a lot of time and a lot of effort.
The lesson of Duke Nukem Forever is that once you have an engine, if you switch engines, forget it. You've just, you know, the game isn't coming out for at least another 5 years. Like, every time you do that. So,
They fell into what I call the old school East game development trap. But as far as the people that were working on it, it's a combination of both. Some of them got reassigned to other groups where they, where their skill set made sense, and then others were just let go. There's actually a ton of Twitter threads out there for people that were working on the game who are trying hard not to violate their NDA because they would like to make sure that they still have money well between jobs. But they can talk about certain things like, you know, the tool stuff or the fact that they worked on it for so long. And, but we don't know very many specifics about the game itself. But as far as what I wish it would have been, honestly, if we would have given me a survival game set in Diablo, I would have been happy camper. Because that just sounds like it'd be wild. Just hordes of demons trying to rush your settlement. Yeah, that'd be cool. And I'm going to stop and let you guys talk.
Liz, you have any opinions?
I always felt when they announced this that it was, we're kind of a little late to jump in on the survival game fad. Like, we had, for a while, it seemed like every game coming out was a survival game of some kind. And it feels like, it's kind of like Heroes of the Storm, you know? It was this really polished MOBA, kind of, but it was late in the cycle of when MOBAs were super popular. And it kind of felt like the same thing for the survival game. It's a survival game coming out when there are already so many big survival games, and kind of their, the excitement about them, it felt like it had peaked. And then, as Joe said, it got caught in development hell, and it just seems like whatever interesting ideas were here, whatever cool things Blizzard was going to do, I don't think we were ever going to see it. I mean,
now, the people that were working on the game might go on to do it elsewhere. Who knows?
Yeah, or to take some of these ideas, things they were thinking about doing, and bring them to life elsewhere. And I hope they do. It's really sad when you have people dedicated to making a game, to putting out their creative vision, to making something new and different, because Blizzard hasn't done a game like this. And Blizzard does have a history of looking at games that are out there and producing something with that's very sophisticated, that learns from the lessons of other games in the genre and produces something, you know, new and a little different. But also, a lot of Blizzard games feel a little different and a little familiar because they like to refine on things. And so it would have been really interesting to see Blizzard go out and do this take. But from the beginning, it felt like an odd choice. And it, just with the development problems, switching engines, games rarely survive that.
Oh, yeah.
And the times we've seen games that have been pushed to do an engine switch or a major design change like that mid-game, mid-development, those rarely turn out well.
I mean, heck, let's look at Overwatch. Overwatch 2 was supposed to be a completely new system that was a completely separate game. And then instead of doing that, it just got bolted on as DLC. Sorry, that's a hill I will die on.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but, you know, once they started doing like, oh, you have to make it for mobile and PC. Oh, you need to use a different engine. I think the game was doomed well before they canceled it.
Agreed.
Unfortunately.
But any ideas what you might have wanted it to be, Liz, or is that pretty much what you forgot to say?
No, I really don't. I was very curious to see what they would have done with the genre, but there's so many directions you could take it. I don't know where they were going. And now I won't. Now I never will.
Yeah, I was disappointed because they kept saying it would be a new IP.
Yeah.
And I really was interested to seeing what Blizzard would do with a new IP. It's been a while. Like, Overwatch was the last one. And, you know, between Overwatch and its earliest IP predecessor, we're looking at like 15 years. It's been a long time since Blizzard has done a new one. So I was curious to see it. I would have liked to have seen that new IP, but we didn't. So, okay, I'm going to move on to which one of these questions. I'm going to go with Felon A's question here. If you could adopt a pet from each of the Blizzard in-game universes, what would it be? There are cats and dogs in both Sanctuary and Azeroth, but there are other critters, too, that are unique to those worlds. Choose wisely. Well, I refuse to choose wisely. I will be choosing Gordon. same as before. This time I'll go with Liz first.
Do you think I could have a pet Zergling? Do you think that would work out?
Yes. If Zergling is cats as anything, then yes, absolutely you can.
just have, you know, a little baby Zergling, and that's it. It's kind of a very large alien house cat. In World of Warcraft, I have a battle pet, which is a mini Tyrael, but I kind of think that would be weird to have it as an actual pet, maybe. But it's also kind of weird to have it as a pet in World of Warcraft, so maybe you just have, like, an angel who follows you around and does things at your command.
Mm? Yeah, some people like that.
That's all I got. I don't know. I don't know what you would do for like Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm or Diablo itself. Like, you don't really have many things that would make good pets in Diablo that I can think of other than your standard cats and dogs. Someone else go.
Joe?
So if I were to pick something just to kind of have, it would be an animal that I think would fit in all three games, but exists in WoW. There are things called rock fangs, which are cats, but they're dragon cats. They are so cool. They're essentially what happens if you take one of the saber cats and give them dragon scales and fins and really like aggressive look. They're just cuddly little creatures. I want one as a pet, and then nobody will mess with me in any of the game because this thing will probably kill demons galore. If it's an Overwatch and I have somebody rushing mid lane, I'm pretty sure it'll help me with that one too. And if it's, you know, anything in WoW, I'm pretty sure they can handle that for the most part too. But yeah, I just love the look of those. I've recently fallen in love with them on my hunter. In particular, there's one called Hammett, which is really, really cool looking, in the, Onaharan Plains. And it's just really neat. I like it. Matt, right. You're up.
This question didn't say that necessarily what the, things had to be. Like, it doesn't, you know, it just says if I could adopt a pet, it doesn't say it has to be a pet for everybody. It just says critters are unique to those worlds. So my answer is a Protoss Archon.
Okay. Yeah,
I was going to say, Palwarhost taught me I can shove people in balls, so I mean, an Archon is acceptable.
Just, you know, a Protoss Archon just follows me around, and every time something aggroes, he goes, power, overwhelming, and it just blasts it with that laser. You know, cool. Yeah, that's my guy, Protoss Archon. A Zerg, I forget what they're called. What is the giant Zerg called? The one with the enormous
tusks? The Ultralisk?
The Ultralisk, thank you. My wife played Starfield more than I did. The Ultralisk is my backup plan. Like, if I can't get the Archon, but if I can have an Archon and a Hydralisk, I wouldn't mind. That'd be cool. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to feed either of them, because I'm pretty sure the Archon subsists entirely on being two Protoss fused together. And so do I get it to unfuse then feed them individually? Like, I'm not sure. Also don't know how to feed Protoss because they don't have mouths. And I think they get all their nutrition from the Great Link. So it's all a thing. I really, there's a lot. You, in order to be able to do the proper husbandry for your pet, you really have to study them. So,
oh my God, I was going to say, like, I learned something from Ether C that there's always a hole and there's always a knife. And that just came to mind when you started talking about Protoss.
Yeah. We don't know where it is. That's my point. regardless, that's my answer. Power overwhelming itself. Because I've always, I remember when they put out the, say what you want about the last StarCraft II expansion, but then that cinematic, was amazing. Oh my word, yeah. So yeah, that's my answer. That's my thing. And yeah, we are a little over time, but not too bad considering we started a little late. So yeah, I guess it's time for Joe to do the thing.
Well then, folks, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance of having your question answered on our podcast with a queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thanks to Joe and Liz. Go ahead, Liz.
I do want to jump in with one little reminder before we go, is that our merch store is still up until the end of the month. So you got about a week to go in if you want some of our new Blue Phoenix art by Coffee Owl Arts, which is really cute. It's so precious. T-shirts, hoodies, blankets, pillows, mugs, things like that. You can go to blizzardwatch.com/merch to pick anything up before the end of the month. Thanks.
Remember, this is for our site's anniversary, by the way. It's our
ninth birthday. Somehow it's been 9 years of this. And if you want to celebrate with us, go buy a t-shirt that it's going to pay for the art itself. And also, usually we use this when we do merch to kind of tuck a little money away for a BlizzCon fund. Even though we don't know what the heck is going on with BlizzCon.
Or Joe either.
What? Joe, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, Liz.
Okay, well, that's all I got, is that please jump in there and buy some merch if you have the funds and if you're interested in cool, adorable Blue Phoenix art. It really helps us out, blizzardwatch.com/merch.
Thank you guys again for being here with us. Remember, if you've got a question for the site, you can send it to our two Discord channels, the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel for our patrons and the Q and Podcast Questions channel for everybody else. And if you want to email us, you can podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch. So we know it's for this show. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll be back next week.